could sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. On today's edition of Yesteryear, it's Adventure with Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight was one of the best-remembered serials of old radio. It was on the air regionally in 1939 for the Skelly Oil Company. When Ovaltine dropped Little Orphan Annie in 1940, Captain Midnight became its replacement on Mutual. The adventure serial was firmly established, action, mystery, a master villain, and plenty of peer identification. The show was developed by Robert Burt and Wilfred Moore and was based on many of Burt's World War I adventures. Burt conceived Midnight as a man of mystery whose job in the war was so important, not even his superiors knew his identity. He was Captain Red Albright, super pilot who traveled the world battling evil. The program ran 15 minutes a day, five times a week, and came roaring out of the early evening sky, luring thousands of boys and girls to its secret squadron before folding on December 5th of 1949, just 10 years after its inception. Return with us then to those fabulous days of yesteryear with some of the most earliest recordings of Captain Midnight available from 1939. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. But now, I have a special message tonight for every one of those 800,000 young fellows and girls who joined Captain Midnight's Flight Patrol last year. Now, you know, Chuck and Patsy are urging all their friends of the radio audience to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol. And, of course, all you veteran Flight Patrol members will be among the first ones to join up again this year to get in on all the new fun and adventure and free prizes that are coming. Because, of course, you know what great times we had last year. So, there are just two things I want to tell you. First, that you'll be doing all your friends a real favor if you'll tell them how they, too, can join the Flight Patrol and get their free Junior Pilot's Application Card and Spinning Propeller Medal of Membership and all the other free prizes that are coming later. Say, why not see how many new members you can get? And second, I just want to say that if you think you had fun last year, boy, you just wait until you hear about the things we have in store for you in the new 1940 Flight Patrol. Say, there'll be great times ahead for every red-blooded fellow and girl who joins up with Captain Midnight. Why, just think how much fun you'll have with that spinning propeller medal of membership alone. And will you be proud to show it to your friends and show them how to spin it and see where the pointer stops to decide who's the winner? See, you'll find 100 different ways of having fun with it. So listen, if you haven't already joined up, have Mother or Dad drive you over to your Skelly service station tonight. Tell your Skelly man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol. He'll give you your junior pilot's application card, and he'll send right in to Skelly headquarters for your free bronze medal of membership with the three-blade spinning propeller and the mysterious new secret password, and he'll put your name on the list for all the other free gifts that are coming later. Remember, it doesn't cost you a single penny. So see your Skelly man and join the new 1940 Flight Patrol tonight. And now to Captain Midnight. Events are heading toward a grim climax. Captain Midnight and Chuck Ramsey finally fought off Shark's chief pilot, Von Griff, as they were rescuing Juan Pareda, whose estate and cattle Shark had appropriated. While this was happening, Ma Donovan and her group have been waiting in their cabin for Captain Midnight's and Chuck's return, guarding the wounded pilot they pulled from a plane. Suddenly, the roar of a plane overhead is heard, and Ma, Patsy, and Pinky rush out, thinking it's Captain Midnight. Slim stays inside to guard the prisoner. The plane dives over the field, and Pinky cries out.
You're not staying out there with bullets flying around.
Ain't Captain Midnight flying that plane?
He ain't. That's the whole problem.
What? We don't want that pilot to hear anything.
No! The plane's a guy in that. Don't worry.
Go, cut back. You get inside. All right.
I thought three prisoners were trapped.
That pilot guy bumped down over the treetops and then pulled up.
Well, if it ain't Captain Midnight, who is it?
That's what I wish we knew.
We ought to see which way he's going so we can tell Captain Midnight.
If we ever see Captain Midnight again.
He'll be here pretty soon, ma'am. Don't worry about that.
We've got to go out and see which way that plane went. He must be leaving the field. I can hardly hear him.
That's right. Patsy's right, all right. Somebody ought to go out and see what's going on.
Well, you and Pinky go, Slim. Oh, no, that won't do. Patsy and I'll be left alone with this pilot.
I'm not afraid of him, Ma. Besides, I've got Chuck's gun.
We better let Patsy go, ma'am. Of course, she knows more about airplanes than we do.
Now, I'll stay here in the cabin with you, ma'am. And Patsy and Pinky can go outside. Pinky won't let nothing happen to her.
All right, then. But be careful, Patsy. And you keep your eye on her every minute, Pinky.
I'll do that, ma'am.
Come on, let's go.
And don't be forgetting what Captain Midnight said. Maybe there's fellas on the ground, too.
Well, I'll be looking out for that. Glad Patsy here's got Chuck's gun.
Look over there in the corner. That pilot's watching us.
Jumping, gee, horse of fat, he sure is.
Well, that's just what I told you before. He knows everything that's going on here just as sure as my name is Slim Pooley.
Well, keep your eye on him, Slim. Patsy and I are going outside.
Hey, wait a second. You better have some kind of a signal when you want to get back in.
Well, how about three knocks, like this?
Yeah, that'll do all right.
Come on, Pinky, before that plane gets away. I close the door. Don't be forgetting the signal. Let's go straight ahead, Pinky. Out to the edge of the field.
Just a minute, Patsy. Just sort of look around a bit. Just to be sure nobody's hanging around that ain't got no business here.
Gee, I guess that would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Come on under this tree, Patsy.
Okay.
Now, a little bit closer.
It's real shady here.
Now, stand real quiet, like, and start looking all around you. And you see if you're moving, other things will be watching you. But if you're standing still, then you can see other things that are moving.
I've looked all around, but I can't see anything.
So have I. I haven't seen a thing, so I guess we can move on.
I can't hear that plane any longer at all. Can you?
No, I can't. But I'm kind of hard of hearing anyhow.
Well, let's go up to the next tree trunk, and we can look out on the field.
All right, but you lead the way, but don't get too far in front.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
Don't move.
Did you see something?
I think I do, but I'm not sure.
Oh, what is it?
I'm going to raise my arm, and you look where I'm pointing. There now. Do you see?
I don't guess I do, Patsy.
You see that big tree? It looks something like a fir?
Yeah, I see that.
Out to the left. Higher. About even with the top.
Yeah, I'm a-looking.
You see those two rocks? They're both round and smooth, and one's higher than the other?
Yeah, I see them.
Top of the smaller rock, don't you see something resting on it?
Calling rattlesnakes. You sure got sharp eyes, Patsy.
It's a gun barrel, isn't it?
It ain't nothing different.
And at the back edge of the rock, isn't that the visor of a man's cap?
That's just what it is, Patsy. By the horn toe. This don't look so good to me.
But what's he pointing the gun at? It can't be us, or we wouldn't be able to see the barrel.
Here, let me take another look. He's aiming that gun at the captain, Patsy. That's what.
Gosh, Pinky, do you suppose he can see the door?
No, there's a big tree right there. All that fellas are doing is being sure that no one comes out into the open.
What are you looking at now?
I'm looking for something I'm pretty sure to find.
What is it, Pinky?
In a minute, we're going back into the cabin, Patsy. But there ain't no use telling you more, because she's liable to get worried.
Okay, but you didn't tell me what you were looking for.
Now listen, Patsy. If there's one fella covering the cabin from that side, there's probably some more from the other side.
Gee, I never thought of that.
What we've got to look for is the most likely other places where a guard would be posted.
Look back this way, Pinky. See that clump of bushes?
Yeah, I see him. And I'll lay 10 to 1 there's something more, too.
There. I saw something moving.
Yeah, so did I, too.
Now I see. There's a man standing up. But his head and shoulders are hidden.
You're sure right. And what a shot. Why, I could pick him off just as easy.
Do you think you should?
No, I guess not. It might start something we couldn't finish. Then again, it ain't giving the critter a chance.
Pinky.
Yeah, Patsy.
This is terrible. I'm not thinking of us. I'm thinking of Red and Chuck. When they come down to land, they won't see any other planes, so they'll think it's all right. But after they land, when they jump out... Oh, Pinky, I can't bear to think of it.
I'm way ahead of you, Patsy. We're all in the tightest spot we've ever been.
In the meantime, Captain Midnight, with Chuck and Señor Pareda in the rear cockpit, has been flying toward the south, following Pareda's directions. But suddenly, Chuck sees a black plane pursuing them, and Captain Midnight makes a vertical left turn down a narrow valley. Then, obeying Pareda's shot, Captain Midnight turns vertically right into a rocky canyon. Listen as Chuck exclaims...
We lost them, Red.
Bravo. I did not think you could do it.
We won't be able to continue if this canyon gets any narrower.
It does not. I have been through it many times.
Now, keep a sharp watch behind, Chuck.
I am. Please, and Deacon's been funny.
Wait a minute. Did you see that black plane?
Yeah. He continued down that narrow valley. We've given him the slip.
Good enough. We'd be at a disadvantage in a narrow place like this.
Gee, we sure haven't got very much room. Our wingtips on this and the canyon walls by more than 25 feet.
The canyon will not become any smaller, I assure you. Very soon now, it will come out.
Oh, wait. I think I see the mouth right ahead.
It sure is dark down here. Kind of gives one a spooky feeling.
Hey, it is very dark. But soon we come out.
There's the opening. We're almost out.
Now, El Capitan Midnight, you must go out. You must climb the stairs into the heaven.
Okay, I'll open the throttle and stick our nose up.
How high do we have to climb?
Not much more, because we are making the ascension very fast. We must go over the mountain top on our right.
Well, that won't take long. We're almost there now.
Gosh, Red, we're going up just like a balloon. I know this engine isn't that powerful.
Remember what I told you about air currents in the mountain structure. We're in a powerful updraft.
Now, we are on top.
Say, Chuck, look at that.
Jiminy Cricket, there's the lake bed and your parade told us about.
And it's as perfect a landing field as I ever saw.
The surface which is hard as a rock.
Yes, and even, too. That's what I like about it.
You can land the airplane, El Capitan?
You bet I can. You don't find many places like this.
That is good.
All right, get set back there. I better put the wheels down.
Watch it, Señor Pareda.
Bravo! That is a fine landing.
Well, there's no need going way out in the middle. I'm going to slap on the brakes and stop here.
Are we safe here, Señor Pareda?
Yes, of that I am sure.
Good, then I'll cut the engine. We may need all the gas we've got. Well, come on, let's get out. Chuck and stretch our legs.
I'm out. Oh, here, let me help you, Señor Pareda.
Thank you.
Well, how do you feel, senor?
Still a little weak, but very much better.
Do you think some of your men are up here?
On the bank of this lake, in that direction, there is a spring of water. Among the trees behind is a hunting lodge. Many were the happy hours I spent with my father there. If my men are on these mountains, they will meet in the lodge at night.
You wish to stay here and wait for them then?
Yes, I think that is best. Will you not wait with me?
No, I'm sorry, senor, but I don't believe that's possible. As I explained to you, we have friends waiting for us in that cabin on the land you leased to the Americans for mining.
Ah, that is so. Then you will go and bring them back here.
Yes, that's what we'd better do, Chuck. Ma and Patsy would as much safer here than there. I wonder how far that field is.
It can't be very far because we've been flying in the same general direction.
Well, how far away is that field, Senor Pereira?
It is not so far. On foot, you would go over that hill to the west and down the canyon.
Yes.
It would be about 6 or 7 miles.
Oh, gosh, that's swell. We can take off and be there in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail.
Then you will return at once?
Yes, senor. We will return in half an hour. We will return in half an hour.
What? Oh, they flash.
Chuck, look.
Blazing beacons. This lake begs nothing but a dried crust. Those wheels have broken through into the mud. We're stuck, Red.
Well, Captain Midnight and Chuck made the landing all right. But will they ever be able to get out? And in the meantime, Patsy and Ma Donovan, together with the faithful Pinky Drake and Slim Poole, are hemmed in by a ring of steel. What will happen next? Tune in tomorrow to Captain Midnight. And now, just a friendly warning to every red-blooded young fellow and girl. If you love mystery and excitement, be sure you hurry and join the new 1940 Flight Patrol right away. Because you certainly won't want to miss out on the thrilling adventure that's in store for every member. The great adventure that only the members of Captain Midnight's new 1940 Flight Patrol can take part in. And of course, you won't want to miss all those free gifts and prizes either. So have Mother or Dad drive you over to your Skelly service station tonight and get your free junior pilot's application card right away. Meantime, your Skelly man will send right in for your swell spinning propeller medal of membership. The secret medal that's packed so full of fascinating features that it's a regular one-man sideshow. And remember, it doesn't cost you a single penny. So see your Skelly man and join Captain Midnight's new 1940 Flight Patrol tonight. Now don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight. Brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jumpers and Dealers. What can Captain Midnight do now? His plane is hopelessly mired in the dried lake, and he and his friends seem to be at Ivan Shark's mercy. Or are they? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!
Favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you 5 times each week by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. And now to Captain Midnight. The famous pilot does not know that his flight to the Aztec Temple is exactly what Ivan Shark had planned. As our scene opens today, it's in the middle of the morning, shortly after the party's arrival at the temple. Pebbles and Patsy Donovan have been on a tour of exploration. And as we find them, they're standing on the west side of the temple, on the edge of the jungle. Patsy has just discovered the presence of footprints on the flagstones near them. Listen as Pablo exclaims.
See, Patsy, they are the footprints.
I was sure they were, but I couldn't believe my eyes.
These men have come from the jungle, Patsy. I can see that very well, because there's much water and mud in the jungle, and the feet, they get wet. And when they step out on their flagstones, they make them marks for everyone to see.
Loop and loop, Pebbles, you're absolutely right. Gosh, I wonder how old these prints are. How long ago were they made?
Oh, it is hard to say, Patsy. We do not know.
But gee, Pebbles, we can figure it out. Because of the hot sun, the mud probably dried quite quickly. Whoever made this footprint had a lot of mud on his shoes, and he even stopped to scrape it off.
But how do you know that, mi amigo?
Look over to your left. See that upturned flagstone? It's got a sharp edge, and someone has scraped the bottoms of his shoes on it. See all that mud that's stuck to the edge?
Hot diggity-dump! Your eyes, they do not miss anything, Patsy. Now look close to the water. There are two footprints, and then a little bit nearer to us, there are two more.
You're right, Pebbles. And look at the first two prints. They're both made with the right feet, and they're spaced about 5 feet apart. That means there must have been two people.
Yes, Sir Dodd, you are right.
And the next thing is, are they both men?
But they must be the men, Patsy, for look, the footprints, they are very large.
You're right. Because look, when I put my foot down next to this print, you see how much bigger the print is?
There is one thing more which we must find out. It is most important.
Gosh, Pebbles, what is it?
We find out that the two men come from the jungle into the temple. They come in, but do they come out? Perhaps they are still here.
Remember, Pebbles, we've only been at the temple a half hour. And these men could have come in just before we arrived.
See, yes, sir, Dad.
But the thing that gets me is how anyone finds their way through the jungle. Look in there. Why, we'd be lost inside of 5 minutes.
See, but there are the men in this country, Patsy, who know the jungle very well. They have to walk in the water and mud, but they keep away from the big holes.
But there's one thing for sure, Pebbles. We've got to tell Captain Midnight about this right away, because it may make all the difference in his plan. Come on, let's go.
In the meantime, two men are standing in a passageway below the temple. They are Von Griff, the former chief pilot of Ivan Chark, and the cutthroat known as Lutro, to whom Ivan Chark was selling the stolen Parada herd. They're talking in low tones. Listen as Von Griff says,
"Well, Lutro, let's get out of business. Make a deal or not?"
"My dear Senor Von Griff, I am not a hard man to do business with. You have the knowledge which is valuable to me. I know the country, and I have many men at my command. We can reach the agreement. You do not need to worry about that."
"Okay, then, what will it be? I've told you about the Parada treasure. It's somewhere in this building. What kind of a split do we make,
huh?" "Yeah, but my dear Von Griff, without me, you are lost. You have no men. You do not even have the aeroplane. You could not even find your way to this temple without me. I know all the trails to the jungle, and I also know something about this temple which you do not."
"What is that?"
"You will follow me up these stone steps, and I will show you. It is very, very interesting, I assure you."
"All right, Lutro, lead the way."
"As you know, this temple was built by the Aztec race many, many years ago. The kings were a very clever men, and they knew how to take care of their enemies. I've shown you the chamber in which you hear the water."
"Yes, that sure gave me the creeps, too."
"The chamber is below the water line of the river. In the old days, when the Aztec emperors wished to get rid of their enemies, they put them in that chamber, then they closed the stone door. And now we are at the place. I will show you something."
"Shall I strike a match?"
"No, I have the flashlight. Now then, you see it?"
"Yes, I see. Two iron levers. What are they for?"
"This one on my left closes and opens the stone door into the water chamber. And this other one on my right opens the hole at the other end of the chamber where the water from the river comes in."
"So, that's the trick, eh?" "The chamber can be flooded."
"Yes, mi amigo. It is very bad for the prisoner in the chamber. The water, it comes in little by little, and very slowly it rises to their ankles and then to their knees, slowly upward until the water touches the ceiling."
"And the prisoners can't get out, eh?"
"Yes, signore, that is the idea. Very clever, do you not think so?"
"This is something that Ivan Chark would appreciate very much. Listen."
"What is the matter, mi amigo?"
"I wonder if Ivan Chark has found out about the Parada treasure. He was just about to get that Dolores Parada to talk when I left."
"If he has found out about it, mi amigo, you can be sure that he will be here very soon."
"Yes, you're right about that. Chark doesn't miss any opportunity."
"Now, my dear Von Griff, about our agreement..."
We'll go over that in a few minutes."
"All right. Now, let us go out to get the breath of fresh air. I do not like to be in here for the long time.
Okay, let's go. Just as soon get out of here myself. But we've got to come back again and see if we can find that treasure.
Now then. We come out to the fresh air. We will go.
What's the matter, Luto? What are you looking at?
Look, mi amigo. Look to the casement in the wall. Who is that?
Captain Midnight. That's who it is.
El Capitan Midnight. The gentleman you were telling me about.
Yes. He's the one man in the world Ivan Sharp is afraid of. Pretends he isn't, but I know better.
Well, mi amigo, this becomes very interesting. If the Captain Midnight is here, perhaps Ivan Shark will come too.
But Captain Midnight has cut off our retreat.
Who is the girl and the boy with him?
The girl is Patsy Donovan, but the boy... At first, I thought it was the one called Chuck Ramsey, but now I see it is not.
Look, Von Grief, they have discovered our trail. See, they look at the footprints on the flagstone.
Will you know this place? Is there some other way we can get out?
Wait, mi amigo. Let us watch this Captain Midnight. I am sure we will find out something about
you. Yes, you're right, Patsy. I see the tracks of two men. They came out of the jungle and went toward the temple.
See, El Capitan, but we do not know whether the men are still in the temple or not.
They could have come back, and if they did, their feet wouldn't make any prints.
That's right. They'd be dry by that time.
It must be the men of Ivan Sharp.
Well, that's possible, Pebbles. But let's not jump to conclusions. There must be others who know about this temple.
Look, the prints lead straight toward that doorway leading into the western courtyard.
We'll follow them as far as we can. But keep behind me, you two.
Seal, Captain Midnight.
I'll follow right behind Pebbles.
All right, come on now. Let's start. Well, the prints are clear up to here, but they're getting fainter very rapidly.
I'm beginning to think that whoever came in must have gone back out. The mud in those prints down by the jungle was almost dry.
Well, that's pretty hard to say, Patsy. But we may be able to see some sign on the other side of the door.
We come to the doorway now. These men, they could have gone in many different directions.
But look. There's a doorway straight ahead on the other side of the courtyard, which leads into the temple proper. If anyone wanted to go into the temple, that's the one they probably would use.
Yes, I think you're right. Now listen, you two stay here. I'm going to that door and look inside. If I don't come back within 5 minutes, run and get the others.
He enters the courtyard now.
The boy and the girl are staying behind. This is very excellent.
Get your gun out, Lutro. Here's where we do some business, and we'll do it quick.
He's not like this El Capitan Midnight, no, it's very damn.
You bet I don't like him. He's caused me plenty of trouble in the past. Next to Shark, I hate him more than anybody else in the world. This is my chance to get rid of him.
But, mi amigo, think for one moment. El Capitan Midnight, he would like to catch Ivan Shark. Very good. Suppose we help him. And then after he has caught him, then we get rid of them both.
Say, I believe you've got something there. We'll do it.
Well, Captain Midnight is approaching a doorway, and sudden death lurks in the shadows behind it. When he sees Von Grimm, will Captain Midnight's hand dart toward his gun? If it does, but see for yourself what happens in the exciting adventure tomorrow. Tune in to Captain Midnight. And don't forget, tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Until tomorrow, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!
A favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you five times each week by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. And now to Captain Midnight. The famous pilot and Chuck Ramsey have fallen into the trap laid by Ivan Shark. They are in the water dungeon of the old Aztec temple, below the river level, a death chamber devised by cunning Aztec kings of centuries ago. Ivan Shark is in the chamber with them, but he has arranged with his daughter Fury for a way of escape for himself, leaving Captain Midnight and Chuck inside. Ivan Shark's hands are still in the air as Captain Midnight covers him. Chuck has just discovered that the massive stone door through which they entered has closed. Listen as Shark says,
"What are you doing, Captain Midnight? This is some trick of yours. That stone door suddenly closed."
"All right, Shark, don't try to fool me with that kind of talk."
"I couldn't push that door open. Look, on the floor, there's water running over it."
"What is this? What are you doing, Captain Midnight?"
Shark does act frightened, Chuck. Evidently, his plans have misfired. All right, now you watch him while I look around.
Okay, I'll keep him covered.
"You have planned this, Captain Midnight, but it won't work. You will be trapped, too. The water, it is flooding the chamber, and that door is closed."
"All right, never mind that. Come here, both of you. All right, now watch him, Chuck."
"You bet I will."
"You will answer to me, Captain Midnight. You will tell me what this is."
"Yes, as if you don't know. Wait, throw the light in that far corner there, Chuck."
"Too many crickets. There's a small circular hole, and water's shooting through it."
"Yes. It's the end, I tell you. We are all lost.
Quick, Chuck. Come here. To the door, quick."
"What are you going to do?"
"The door will not move. Ramsey tried it already."
"Right, come on, Chuck. Both of us together now. Push, push. Harder.
It won't move.
We are lost, I tell you. This is the end."
"Oh, gosh. This water's up over my shoes already."
"All right, now you listen to me, Ivan Shark. This is no surprise to you, because you got us in here by a trick."
"That's a lie, Captain Midnight. I was on business of my own down here, and you interrupted me."
"The parade of treasure?"
"Yes. Yes, you must know it. I was looking for the parade of treasure."
"Yes, but what about those shots and your yelling?" "Oh, no. It won't go, Shark. I know you too well. You planned to get us into this room, and you know the way out. Somewhere near us, there's a hidden control that'll open that door."
"I am telling the truth, Captain Midnight. If there is some means of opening that door, I do not know what it is."
"You're not fooling us, Shark. You plan to escape from this room and leave us in here. But I tell you, it won't work. We are armed and you're not. If Chuck and I are to die in this hole, you'll die with us. Because you'll never get out of here alive, Nettie. You get that?"
"Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe something's happened that he didn't expect. Oh, Captain, we've got to do something. And we've got to do it quick. The water's over our ankles."
"Now, what's the joke?"
The humor of the situation has suddenly dawned upon me. We have been bitter enemies for years. You have devoted your life to my extermination. And now just when success was to crown your lifelong efforts, everything is washed out, and you and I stand upon an equal footing, trapped in an underground chamber beneath an ancient Aztec temple."
"Oh, quit talking. Let's do something to get out of here."
"Nothing we can do, Ramsey, will get us out of here. What I was about to tell you, Ramsey, is this. Because there is one power in the world which recognizes neither youth nor age, wealth nor poverty. And that power, Ramsey, is the power of life and death."
"What's he getting at, Captain Midnight? What does he mean? Does he really mean we're going to..."
"Yes, Ramsey, I mean exactly that. We, the three of us, are about to die."
"And what makes you so certain that we are all to die?"
"I will tell you why, Captain Midnight. In this moment, I see nothing to be gained by deception. This chamber, as you may suspect, is below the river level. And this room is a water torture chamber."
"Is he telling the truth? He can't be."
"Come on now, Chuck. Come on, pull yourself together. Remember what I've always said about keeping your head?"
"I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep cool."
"You'll keep cool, my dear Ramsey. You will keep cool all the way into eternity."
"Don't listen to him, Chuck. He's only trying to scare you. I've heard of chambers like this before, Shark. And I'm quite certain of one thing. You didn't close that stone door yourself. Since you didn't, who did?"
"I do not know, Captain Midnight. And even if I did, what good would it do us now? That door is closed and the water is rising rapidly."
"Whoever closed it can open it again. Why don't we fire our pistols and shout? Maybe someone will hear us.
There is absolutely no chance, Ramsey. Any sound will be drowned by the roar of the waterfall.
Yes, he's right, Chuck.
But look, the water's up to our waist already.
Yes, my dear Ramsey. And judging by that, we may have 8, possibly 10 minutes to live.
Oh, never mind that. Get your gun out, Chuck, and keep Shark covered. I'm going to the other end of the room and find out something.
Okay, I'll keep him covered.
Are you a good swimmer, Ramsey?
Yes, I'm pretty good. Why?
Because the ceiling of the room, Ramsey, is about 2 feet above our head. Soon we will have to start swimming.
So what?
I am just reviewing what is in store for us. We will finally end up with our noses against the ceiling and less than an inch of airspace. And very soon, even that will be gone.
You can't scare me if that's what you're trying to do.
It's really a shame, Ramsey, that a youth of your unusual promise should have to die so young. As for myself and Captain Midnight, why... but here he comes now.
Did you find out anything, Captain Midnight?
Never mind, I'll tell you later,
Chuck. As always, the brave Captain Midnight will not give up. But this is one time you will have to. Yes, the conclusion of a famous career comes to an end in this slimy, gurgling hole in Mexico. Does that not shame you, Captain Midnight? Your star should have set high in the sky in a final blazing meteor of doom, a glowing, sensational death that would be a fitting climax, a final exit worthy of you, instead of an ignominious death like a rat.
I'm certainly indebted to you for these splendid tributes. Yes, and the fact that you make such long speeches at a time like this only proves that...
The water, it's still rising.
Yes, my dear Ramsey, it is above our waist. And before long... Yes, let me look at my watch. Yes, before long, it will be over our heads. what a singular coincidence. You are called Captain Midnight because of the sensational feats of bravery you have accomplished, many of them at this hour of the night. We are approaching the hour of 12. And you are approaching your final exploit.
You seem to think it's very funny. But don't forget that what happens to us happens to you, too.
Oh, no, my dear Ramsey. I do not forget that at all. But I have a flair for the drama, Ramsey. There is nothing dramatic in the death of the criminal Ivan Shark. But think of the pathos of the miserable death of the famous Captain Midnight.
All right, never mind all that. Come here. Step to your right, Shark. I want you further from that door.
Certainly, my dear Captain. Anything to please you.
That's better. Come over near the door, Chuck. I've got something to tell you.
A little secret conference, is that it? A very nice thing to have, but totally unproductive, I can assure you.
A little more here. All right. This is far enough now, Chuck.
Have you found out anything?
All right, now listen, Chuck, and listen carefully.
I'm listening.
I'm convinced Shark is putting on an act. He doesn't expect to die. He has an escape figured out for himself.
There's something else I noticed. He keeps looking at his watch.
Yes, I noticed that too. He evidently expects something to happen at a certain time.
Well, what are we going
to
do?
Now you listen to me and listen carefully. Keep him covered with the flashlight, just as I'm doing now. That's it.
Did you find out anything when you went to the other end of the room?
Yes, Chuck, yes. Now listen. Time is getting short. This water's getting higher. Whatever I tell you to do, either aloud or in a whisper, you do it and do it at once.
You bet I will.
I'm still positive Shark has arranged all this, that he's planned a way of escape, leaving us in here to die. So we've got to watch him every single second. Come on now. We'll go back toward him, but don't get too close.
Well, as a resourceful Captain Midnight found a way out, he'd better hurry if he has.
No, not yet. But I know you have.
Listen, Captain Midnight, I just thought of something. Since Shark didn't close that door, perhaps some of his own men did. To get rid of Ivan Shark. Maybe Von Griff.
Von Griff? Well, that's possible, Chuck.
Von Griff. What do you know about Von Griff?
Well, Chuck, maybe you made a good guess.
What do you know of Von Griff? Here, you do not even know him.
We had a very interesting conversation with Von Griff the other night. He told us he used to be your chief pilot, but that he isn't any longer.
Maybe Ivan Shark knows Von Griff's friend, Senor Lutro.
Lutro? You know him also?
Yes. And perhaps you'd be interested in knowing that Von Griff and Lutro are in this temple right now.
No! No, it is not true! You're lying! You are! Now I know the truth! I'm lost! I'm lost!
We're all lost! All of us! All of us are lost!
Well, Captain Midnight was right. Ivan Sharp had planned his own escape, but the sudden realization has come to him that Von Griff and Lutro may have thwarted his plan. But with him are Captain Midnight and Chuck. If the massive door does not open when the 15 minutes are up, what will happen?
Now don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight. Until tomorrow, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye.
Favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you five times each week by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. And now to Captain Midnight. In the last adventure, Captain Midnight had left Patsy Donovan and Pebbles at a courtyard entrance of the Aztec Temple. Alone, he was following the trail of the two strange men whose presence Patsy and Pablo had discovered. The two men we know to be the renegade Señor Lutro and Ivan Shark's former chief pilot, Von Griff. As Von Griff stepped to the door, Lutro remains hidden nearby at a casement window. If Captain Midnight's hand makes a move toward his gun, Lutro, who has him covered, will shoot him dead. Captain Midnight is approaching, and Von Griff is speaking.
Do you have him covered, Lutro?
I'm aiming at his heart.
Stand where you are, Captain Midnight. If you make a move, you're a dead man.
Step out, Von Griff. I have him covered.
I believe I've heard your voice before. Aren't you Von Griff?
Yes, Captain Midnight, I'm Von Griff. You're very lucky to be alive. I should have killed you.
You're not the man to kill me, Von Griff. But how did you get away from the plateau field near the pass?
Your friends did not make it easy for me to get away, I assure you. After I played square with you, you did not play square with me.
Now, what do you mean by that?
That kid friend of yours, Chuck Ramsey, and the girl, Patsy Donovan, stole my plane.
That plane wasn't yours. It belonged to Ivan Shark. And Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan were taking the only means left to save their lives.
I ought to shoot them on sight. Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Listen, I want to warn you about one thing, Von Griff, and that's in regard to Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan.
Please, my amigos, why all these angry words? We are friends, not enemies.
Who's this other man, Von Griff? What do you mean, friends?
This is my friend, Señor Lutro. Lutro, this is the famous Captain Midnight.
Ah, mi capitán, this is the great pleasure, I assure you.
Never mind the formalities. But who are you? What are you doing here?
Dear senor, I could equally well ask you that question.
Yes. What are you doing here, Captain Midnight? Seems to me you had a nice place back there in that mountain valley.
You are not aware of recent developments, then, I take it.
Well, maybe not.
Perhaps this Ivan Shark has interfered with your plans, mi capitán.
That answer will do as good as any. But what are you doing here?
My dear senor, this is very easy to explain. I've heard a great deal about this Aztec temple, and I wish to come here and visit it. So I bring along my very good friend, Señor Von Griff.
Oh, is that so? But now that you have visited the temple, are you preparing to leave?
See, mi capitan, that had been our intention, but now that we have met you, perhaps we shall stay.
No, no, you won't. And you're getting out of here right now.
But, my dear Captain Midnight, we are here to...
Enough of that. Now get out.
Yeah, but, my dear senor, you are making the big mistake. We are very good friends of yours. We have the many things in common. We wish to help you.
I don't need any help from you.
You're very foolish, Captain Midnight. I have told you I no longer work for Ivan Shark. I've sworn an oath to get him, and Lutra here will bear me out. Is it not so, Lutra?
Si, mi capitán, es verdad. It is the truth.
Listen. The storm. Soon it will...
Shoot him, Lutra!
Put those hands. Come on, get him up. That's better.
Gun from grief. Where did it come from so quick?
Tell it now, then. Turn around, you two.
You're making a big mistake, Captain Midnight.
Start marching. Get out of here and don't come back. And if you're here on Shark's orders, tell him I'll deal with him direct. If you're not, I don't want you two mixing into this business. Now go on, get moving and don't stop. If you do, this gun starts talking.
Come on, Lutro. I guess he means what he says.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org.
Everybody inside.
Yes.
Oh, gee, look at that raincoat. Why, it's a regular cloudburst.
Yes, it's a bad tropical storm, Chuck. It's almost like a hurricane.
Now it's really beginning to come down.
Yes. Oh, I don't like this, Chuck. The rain's very long. That water's going to raise plenty high. Parts of this temple along the riverbank are crumbling already.
Everybody's safe where they are now, Captain. They're under a tile roof, and Pebbles and Patsy have got some wood in to start a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Here comes Senor Pereira.
Yeah, because this storm is a very bad one.
Yes.
Listen, Captain Midnight. What about those two men, Juan Britt and the fellow who calls himself Lutro? Where did they go?
I ordered them out, Chuck. They headed for the jungle. But this rain may have forced them back.
Ah, mi capitán, this is very bad. Do not forget, my treasure is here in this pamphlet.
Maybe that's what they're here for.
They said they were trying to get revenge on Shark and wanted to join with me. But I gave them a good answer.
We ought to keep a sharp watch.
It would be most difficult. In this temple, there are the very many rooms and passageways. If one does not know the way, he will be lost.
Where are Pinky and Slim, Chuck?
Oh, they're on guard duty. They're up above us in a tower we found.
Yeah.
I'm afraid they can't see very much through this rain.
Mi amigos, it would be very easy for the men of this Ivan Shark to creep upon us. The rain, it is falling so hard, they could not see that.
No, Senor Pereira, I don't believe there's much danger now. At least while the storm is at its worst. But as soon as it lets up, then we'll have to be very careful.
Oh, gee. And we were going to start building that raft this afternoon.
I know, but that's out of the question, Chuck. As long as the storm keeps up, I guess we're lucky to find a dry place to take shelter in.
See, mi capitán. It is most fortunate. We should thank the kind Dios.
Yes. Well, we can't do any good out here. Come on, let's join the others.
Hours pass, and the steady downpour continues. Night has fallen, and three figures are struggling along the secret jungle trail leading to the north end of the temple. They are Ivan Shark, his daughter Fury, and his chief pilot, Gardo. Listen as Fury gasps.
I do not see why you have to drag me out in this storm, Father.
It could not be helped, Fury. We must strike when the opportunity comes.
You couldn't have a better night for it, Chief. Captain Midnight sure won't think you'd make a move tonight.
Yes, Gardo. It is a night ideally suited to our purpose. For once, the weather is in league with us.
Look, we are coming out of the jungle.
Yeah. Hey, there's that wall just ahead.
Where do we go now, Father?
We go straight ahead, Fury.
Oh, yes. The secret door in the wall, eh?
Exactly, my dear. Open it, Gardo.
Okay, Chief.
Now it is open. Step forward, Fury. I will light the way with the flashlight.
I'll go ahead, Chief.
No, Gardo. You will stay here and guard the entrance.
Yeah, but I wanted to help you polish off Captain Midnight, Chief.
No, Gardo. You will stay here. We cannot afford to allow our escape to be cut off. Step forward, Fury.
Very well, Ivan.
How long do I have to stay here, Chief?
You will stay here until we come back. That is,
unless you see someone else enter this entrance. In that case, you will come and warn us. We will be at the controls above the water chamber.
Okay, Chief.
Where do we go first, Ivan?
We go straight ahead and up the stairs to the water controls. I have some important instructions to give you.
Very well, Father.
Now then, my dear Fury, here we are. You see that iron lever?
Yes, Ivan, I see it.
That lever controls the stone door which opens into the chamber. In its present position, the door is open. But look. You see, I have now moved it a half turn. The door is now closed. In order to be sure there is no slip, you will see whether you can open it.
Very good, Father.
Ah, excellent, my dear. But as you see, it does not take much strength to move it. Now then, you see this other lever? The one to my right?
Yes, I'm looking at it now.
This lever controls the water valve. By turning it thus, you open the valve. But I must close it quickly or too much water will come in.
I understand about both letters, Ivan. What are your further instructions?
We now need only a device to lure Captain Midnight into the water chamber.
And how will you do that?
By shooting my pistol and yelling at the top of my voice. The passageway directly below us leads to the stairway going down into the water chamber. Captain Midnight, and perhaps Senor Pareda and the boy Chuck Ramsey with him, will go down to investigate. After you have heard them go down, you will close the stone door and open the water valve. Then you will wait exactly 15 minutes by your watch.
But, Father, you will be in the chamber.
Ah, my dear. That is the cunning part of my plan. I shall convince Captain Midnight that I also am trapped. We are to die together. But when the 15 minutes are up and the water is almost to the ceiling, you will open the door and I shall take a deep breath, swim down and out. The outside of the chamber on the lower level will also be underwater by that time. But when I swim up, I will shout to you and you will close the door again.
And meanwhile, Ivan, the water is rising to the ceiling.
Yes, my dear. And by that time, Captain Midnight will have his nose against the ceiling. And in another minute, the last remaining bubble of air will be gone, trapping our eternal enemy, Captain Midnight, in a watery grave.
It is indeed a clever plan, Ivan. How I should enjoy seeing the great Captain Midnight struggle for his last breath.
Yes, my dear Fury. This time there will be no mistake. Captain Midnight will die, and his last moments will be tortured by my taunts.
Well, Ivan Shark has indeed laid a fiendish trap for his enemy, Captain Midnight. But will it work out as the criminal has planned? Don't forget, there are two other men who must be reckoned with, Senor Lutro and Von Grip, and Ivan Shark does not know of their presence in the temple. Tune in tomorrow to Captain Midnight. And don't forget, tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Will Ivan Shark succeed in trapping Captain Midnight and Chuck in the underground water chamber in the Aztec Temple? Will Captain Midnight be fooled by Shark's clever ruse? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!
It's been The Adventures of Captain Midnight with the Parada Treasure, a series taken from December of 1939, the inaugural year of Captain Midnight. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio. Remember radio, we'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy
preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.